Welcome to season 4 of the Faith-Filled Entrepreneur Podcast, where we help you navigate building a business as a faith-filled entrepreneur with business strategies and tips and encouragement in taking God-sized risks, operating in obedience to the Holy Spirit, and being bold as you step out in the confidence that we receive from Ephesians 3:20, knowing that God is working through you to do infinitely more than we might ask or think, giving God the glory every step of the way. Thank you for being here. We ask that you continue to download these episodes and share with your faith-filled entrepreneur friends. We need faith leading business more than ever right now. And we can't wait to be on this journey with you. My name is Jen Kleiber, owner of the educational consulting company, The Responsive Classroom, creator of the Faith-Filled Entrepreneur Community, and your host as we journey through this business building life together. Hey friends, and welcome to episode 6 of the season 4 Faith-Filled Entrepreneur Podcast. We have been talking about content for the last few episodes, and if you missed my interview with Hannah Brindley last week, check out that to be encouraged and inspired. I know that you don't want to miss that. But as I was spending time with the Lord this morning, sitting on my back patio before everyone else got up, some verses really jumped out at me, and I decided that I wanted to talk to you guys about it. Now, I encourage you to read all of Romans 4, in all honesty, all of Abraham's story in Genesis, but I wanted to point out a few verses. So just bear with me while I read these, okay? Romans 4, 18 through 22. Even when there was no reason for hope, Abraham kept going, believing that he would become the father of many nations. For God had said to him, "That's how many descendants you will have." And Abraham's faith did not weaken, even though at about 100 years of age, he figured his body was as good as dead, and so was Sarah's womb. Abraham never wavered in believing God's promise. In fact, his faith grew stronger, and in this, he brought glory to God. Okay, wow. Verse 21 says, "He was fully convinced that God is able to do whatever he promises. And because of Abraham's faith, God counted him as righteous." Okay, did that jump out at you like it did to me? Let me reread verse 20 again. It says, "Abraham never wavered in believing God's promise. In fact, his faith grew stronger, and in this, he brought glory to God." Y'all, Abraham's faith grew stronger in the waiting, not in the answer. It's easy for our faith to grow when we take a step of obedience and God blesses it right away and we see the results, right? It's easy to give glory to God there because we tangibly saw him move. But what about in the waiting? What about when God moves us in a certain direction to start a business or create a course or write a book or put ourselves out there in some way, and then there's crickets? At least from our perspective. And we're in a time of waiting, knowing in our minds that God is still working, but literally believing in God's promises without seeing the fruit. Abraham's faith in waiting is actually what brought glory to God and why Abraham found such favor with the Lord. This, my friends, is not easy. This is intentional because I don't know about you, but when I'm in a time of waiting, which I'm going to be honest with you, I am right now, even as I'm recording this podcast episode, it can be discouraging. That little voice in my head that starts telling me that I'm not good enough or what I'm doing isn't enough, that voice starts talking, right? This is the time when Satan can derail us. God's working, lining everything up for his purpose and our good, and Satan is trying to pull us off course. Imagine what would have happened if Abraham would have jumped off course, lost his faith in God, and gone back into the culture and sin that he came from. Imagine the blessing that he would have missed out with, because I believe that God's purpose would have prevailed, right? It would have still happened, but maybe not through Abraham. So what does waiting in faith look like when you're running and growing a business? It obviously doesn't mean sitting around eating bonbons all day, right? We know that God is a God of work and is not a fan of laziness, so we know that that theory is not biblical. But I do believe it means a few things. The first thing that I think that it means We need to recognize the time of waiting as an exciting time of God working and intentionally continue to seek Him daily to make sure that we're being guided and staying within God's will. Abraham stayed in constant contact with God all along his journey, right? Number two, I think we need to prepare. If you follow Abraham's journey, he was diligently working, moving, developing people to eventually become nations. We need to learn the skills that we need to carry out the work. We need to put in the work. We need to do the research. But we also need to prepare our hearts to be open to what God is doing, right? Even if it's not the way we thought it would go. Okay, number three. Expect. This is a big one for me. This is one that I have to be really intentional in working on. But we need to expect God to do more than we could think or ask. Ephesians 3:20 has become a staple verse around here. And it says, "Now all glory to God, who is able through his mighty power at work within us to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask or think." Do you believe that God is mighty? Do you believe that he can move mountains? Do you believe that he is victorious and sovereign? If you do, then you need to expect him to work mightily through you. You need to expect great things. Look for ways that God is working, even in the details. Okay, I want to tell you a little story. As I said, I'm in a waiting period on a few things in my business. However, I know that God is present and near, and I know that he's lining things up. In a different area of life, my son plays baseball, and we were at a tournament this past weekend. Now, long story short, he's been struggling with hitting lately, which affects his playing time. And for a 12-year-old, this is obviously very frustrating. He's also a utility player, which for those of you who are not baseball peeps, means that he goes position to position, but also means that he doesn't always play a position that he loves, right? Which is fine. So in the last tournament, he had just had some errors. He was playing second base and he was feeling a little down in one of the games. So the next game started and I just prayed that God would show Tate favor in that game, that whatever lessons he was using baseball to teach Tate, that Tate would be open to those lessons, but from a mama's heart, man, that he would just have a good game. So what would I have liked to have happened? Well, I would have loved for Tate to get a home run and then make a terrific play in the infield, right? Okay, that's not what happened. So first at bat, Tate gets a walk. He walks to first, and then he steals second right then. And then he steals third, and then he steals all the way home. It was hilarious, right? Then he makes this amazing catch at second. But y'all, I kid you not, he was not even looking at the ball. He literally turned his head away and stuck his glove out, and the ball went in his glove. Like, even came off the field like, oh, that was luck, right? But we know it wasn't luck. But this game gave him confidence that he needed, and he ended up making two more good plays at second. Also, in the last two games that we played in this tournament, the head coach of the other team got kicked out in the third game. And in the fourth game, which was the championship, the other team and coaches were just horrible. Mouthy, talking back to the umpires, being disrespectful to our coaches. I won't even go into what was said. And our coaches, who are young, great coaches, great role models for our boys, showed integrity. They showed respect. They kept the boys focused. They didn't stoop down to any level that they didn't need to go to. And they led the boys so well. Y'all, I felt like God was saying, okay, look, I'm here. I hear you and I love you. And baseball may seem insignificant in the grand scheme of things. It is. But in my 12-year-old's life, it is not. And it is a very impactful time for him. But I take such encouragement in Psalm 37:23, which says, "The Lord directs the steps of the godly. He delights in every detail of their lives." I want to encourage you on this. While you are waiting, look around. See God working, right? See him working in other areas of your life. Because I believe that when we seek him, we find him, right? And so when we're looking for him, we're going to find him, even if it's not in the way that we are wanting right in that moment. But see him working and then expect great things. Okay, number four. So number one, just to recap really quickly, number one was to recognize the time of waiting, prepare what we're doing, prepare our hearts. Number three, expect God to do great things. And number four, this one may seem weird, but detach. We need to detach ourselves from the outcome. Proverbs 16:9 says, "We can make our plans, but the Lord determines our steps." I don't believe that this means we don't plan anything. God gives us a vision and a direction to go, right? But I think this means that we have to detach from the outcome. If God shifts us, we need to go. Sometimes if we are so connected to the outcome, we lose his guidance, right? We start trying to make miracles happen because we've got to hit this certain goal. But the outcome may look different than what we were expecting. But here's the great thing. It will always be bigger and it will always have an impact on the kingdom, which is what our purpose is anyway. So we have to be willing to detach ourselves. There have been so many times when God has led me in a direction and my brain just goes, 15 steps ahead. But really, God was just leading me maybe 2 steps so that I could get to a point where I could pivot again. And he does that, right? And we want to be open to it. In Proverbs 16:3, it says, "Commit your actions to the Lord and your plans will succeed." In Psalm 37:5, it says, "Commit everything you do to the Lord. Trust him and he will help you." So what does that mean, right? Well, when we commit our plans, I don't think that that means that we just bring them to the Lord and we're like, this is what we're doing, so we need you to bless them. I don't think that's how it works. It means that we are saying, "Look, Lord, we are available to be used by you in whatever way you want to take us." So let's bring that around practically to our content. One of the hardest things about online marketing is providing content consistently when you're not seeing a big return. Now, I always recommend evaluating which pieces of content are getting the most engagement, and we're going to talk about that on a later episode. We don't want to be putting out stuff that's not landing with our audience, obviously. But just being consistent over time with content will set you apart. So I just want to remind you about some ways to stay consistent with your content over the waiting period, okay? Number one, guess what? You own your business. So you get to talk about what you're passionate about. So make sure that what you're talking about lights you up, right? And if it lights you up, you're going to be more apt to continue talking about it even when you're in kind of a valley. Number two, practically, batch your content. Set aside a few hours, create some social media posts for the week, write a few blogs, record some YouTube videos, draft emails, however it is that you put content out there. When you can sit down and do 4 and get your month's worth of content written out in a morning, you feel so productive and you're going to be much more likely to be consistent with it, right? Okay, number three, automate the content. When you don't feel like doing it, that's when it's even more important to set up systems of automation for yourself, just to make sure that the content goes out consistently, right? You can schedule social media posts, you can schedule email sequences, you can schedule YouTube videos, I believe. And so the more that you can schedule and get out there, again, the more chance that you're going to be consistent with it. And then number four, the last one here. Repurpose content. We're going to talk about ways to do this in a later episode. We're really going to dive into this in our membership. But batch your main content, your primary content. So if you have a blog, if you have podcasts, if you even have weekly emails that go out like a newsletter, right? That's going to be your primary content where you spend the most time developing your content. But then you can pull content all week out of that primary content. You do not need to come up with new content every day, right? So if you write a blog, maybe record yourself reading part of it and make it alive, right? Or put it on social media. Pull out quotes from the content, put it on social media. That blog is what goes into your email. That becomes your email for the week. You can copy and paste that blog onto LinkedIn as an article, and then it becomes an article on LinkedIn. So while, of course, everything takes the time to like make sure it's formatted correctly and edited correctly, you're talking about minutes instead of hours. And when you're having to really push through to get that content out, Where we can save time and energy, we certainly want to do that. So here's the deal. If you are in the waiting, I want to encourage you to find joy knowing that God is working on your breakthrough. And then set up systems in your business that will help you stay consistent even when you don't feel like it, even when you don't feel like putting out all that content. So we have some exciting news. I dropped it just a second ago without thinking about it, but our membership, which we have now finally named the Content and Kingdom Driven Membership, is opening up next month to new members. Yay! We've currently had an amazing group of beta members who have patiently and skillfully helped shape the content and the format so that it really meets the needs of faith-filled entrepreneurs. And we are so pumped to open it up to you. So that's going to be opening up. It will open up for just a matter of days in June. We'll let you know about that date next week. But jump on our email list to be in the know. You can click on the link in the show notes. You can head to the website. Change the name of the website just as a reminder to thefaithfilledentrepreneur.com. And you can get info there. And I just want to remind everyone that if you are a business owner or you are in the planning phases of being a business owner, jump into our Facebook group, The Faith Filled Entrepreneur, or follow us on Instagram at Jen_Kleiber to get business strategies, verses for guidance and encouragement, and just to have a community that celebrates each other and networks with each other and probably most importantly, praise for each other. You can always check out thefaithfulentrepreneur.com to find out all that's going on and to get additional resources to help you build your faith and your business, which is what we are here for. Thank you so much for listening. Please subscribe and download and share. It helps us out, but we also want to get positive, encouraging, faith-driven businesses. We want to give them encouragement. We want to give them hope. So share this. We'll be back with another episode of The Faith-Filled Entrepreneur next week.